Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit GoingFor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio. Sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Now, like every time I tell someone I'm a Heat fan, they always go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ronald.
They were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
All right, guys, welcome back. We're here tonight with Brandon Bailey of GoingFor2.com, as well as Matt Sandell of GoingFor2.com. We're here tonight to talk the NFL playoffs, some divisional rounds. The divisional round games this weekend, some pretty big important games this past weekend. The games weren't that great, but some good matchups this weekend. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
And Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Just ready to get these football games going again this weekend.
All right. Good deal.
Pray they're better than this wild card round that happened this last week, and every single game was a blowout.
Agreed. Yeah. It was pretty bad. That Packers-Giants game was probably the best of the group, only because the Packers were playing so awful early, and they ended up coming back. But overall, it was a bad weekend.
Yeah, it was. The NFL is not happy with their ratings, I'm sure, checking them in on this Wednesday. They blew it on a lot of these games, but... Hopefully, there's some good matchups this next week, so we'll definitely have a lot to talk about.
Good deal. Let's go ahead and just jump into that first game of the weekend. Is the Seattle Seahawks are going to Atlanta to face the Falcons. This is a rematch of Week 6, where the Falcons went into Seattle and won the game. Lost the game on a last-second field goal by Hauschka. This game is going to be in Atlanta. Does that change things, Matt, you think, for the home field?
I'm going to say definitely. I mean, playing in the 12th man, that's a lot of pressure every Sunday, especially for the away team, that is. And the Falcons came in there poised and did a great job. They almost came out with that victory at CenturyLink Field. So playing on their home turf, I think they definitely have the advantage, and I think they'll probably sneak out a W this Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. What say you, Brandon?
I think home field advantage plays a role. But the one thing I feel like, unless it's the Atlanta Falcons, because the Falcons, if you look at their last three home playoff games, they've lost two of their last three. Their one win came against Seattle a few years ago. But as I recall, Seattle could have easily won that game in the end. But I just feel like Seattle's one of those veteran, latent teams. They have a lot of playoff experience. And I think there's a team that could go into Atlanta and win a game, it would be Seattle.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. That's a great point. I just think that it's going to be an interesting matchup. You got one of the best secondaries in the NFL going up against one of the best passing attacks in the NFL and the overall number one offense from this last year.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a strength versus strength with that Falcons offense versus that Seattle defense, which has struggled at times this year against the pass. I think in that game in Seattle, I think Matt Ryan had over 300 yards passing and like three touchdowns. I mean, he lit them up pretty much.
He's had an incredible year, and the MVP hasn't been announced yet, but rumor has it around the NFL that he's got it locked up basically.
Yeah, I think he's definitely in the conversation. I think Aaron Rodgers has kind of put his name in the hat too as well over the last few games of the season. Basically going on that long win streak to get his team in the playoffs. But I think it's definitely between him, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers.
I just think the consistency of Matt Ryan throughout the season, definitely. Aaron Rodgers was terrible the first, like, five or six games. And I think you got to give it to Matt Ryan. He was consistent every week. And their team, the Falcons, got a first round bye in the playoffs. So I think Ryan's got this locked up, to be honest. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree, because if you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers, they're similar to Matt Ryan's numbers. And that's with Aaron Rodgers' numbers probably being a little bit inflated because the Packers have no run game. Matt Ryan would have put up the same
absolutely
number with a run game. So I feel Matt Ryan is the MVP this year.
All right.
Oh, well, definitely.
Speaking about that run game, do the Falcons need to run the ball in this game? They kind of struggled to run the ball in Seattle. If they struggle again, can the Falcons win without a run game?
I think establishing the run will be important for Atlanta, but with Earl Thomas not back there for Seattle, I feel like Atlanta could have a subpar day on the ground. As long as they get Julio Jones and the rest of that receiving core going, I think they could be able to win this game. Since it's at home, they should be able, they could pull it out without a good day on the ground.
What do you think, Matt? You think they got to run the ball, or you think they can just go through the air the whole game?
You know, I'm going to combine the two, and I think that they have an awesome passing attack out of the backfield with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. So they can kind of do it both ways. They can mix up the playbook, do some screens with Freeman, and Coleman's a beast out of the backfield as well, catching passes. He was a fantasy stud this year, and he only played like half the snaps, if that. And so Atlanta has a ton of weapons. I mean, you got Julio on one side, Sanu on the other, one of the MVP, basically a quarterback, and then Freeman out of the backfield with a little Coleman. It's going to be tough to stop for Seattle. It really is.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Falcons could almost use their short passing attack as a run game, just sort of the hitting the screens with, you know, they got two good receiving backs. I think they can use that sort of short passing attack if they can't run the ball. I think they ultimately want to run the ball. I know Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator there, wants to run the ball, but if they can't for some reason, they can sort of substitute it with a short passing game. So I think you're right. I think they don't necessarily have to run the ball, but I think if they can't, they can still get this victory.
And Atlanta's defense is no slouch either. They have some great players on that side of the ball. They got Vic Beasley and Trufant, but I think is he injured right now?
I think he's going to be in this game. I believe he's playing this game, but I haven't checked the latest injury reports.
Interesting. Well, I just think honestly this year, you know, the experience definitely plays a role, and I mean, it's going to be an awesome game. This is actually my second favorite game on the weekend, but I think Atlanta's the better team. Honestly, I really do. They had a first round bye. They were consistent. They beat the Broncos in week 5. They were unstoppable, honestly, on offense. And they torched your 49ers. I know that, Jeff.
Yes.
They had like, I thought Matt Schaub was going to come in like the second quarter, honestly, to relieve Matt Ryan. It was like 21-0 at the end of the first.
I thought they were going to bring Jeff George back in the game just to throw the ball around for a little bit.
For sure. I think Atlanta's the better team, and if I had to bet, I'd definitely go Falcons. I'm not sure what the spread is on this game. I assume it's probably like Atlanta -3 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly close match. It might be the closest of the weekend, actually. Let's look at that Seattle offense and, you know, that Seattle team in general. You know, they are typically known for defense and running the ball, but they've struggled, you know, in both facets a little bit this year with the run game and with the defense. So with the Falcons and their run game, can the Seattle Seahawks stop that Falcons offense, you think?
I think for the most part, I think they should be able to slow it down. I don't know if anyone could completely stop that offense, but I just think it's funny, like how just whenever the playoffs come, it always just seems like these high-powered offenses who score all these points throughout the year, they always seem to slow down some in the playoffs, especially against teams with strong defenses. And I think Seattle's offense would play a good role in that as well. They'll be able to keep the defense on the field a little longer. I feel like with their run game, with Thomas Rawls healthy now and running as good as he's run all year, and with a healthy Russell Wilson and a better overall offensive attack, I feel like Seattle can keep Atlanta's offense off the field, and they should be able to make it pretty interesting.
I couldn't agree more with you, Brandon. I mean, defenses dominate the playoffs. I mean, back in that 2013 matchup that included the Seahawks, the Broncos had the best offense of all time in terms of yardage per play, and they lost like 43-9 or 43-8, I think. And so, I mean, it's going to be a tight one in Atlanta there, but I'm still taking the Falcons. I think their defense, Russell Wilson just hasn't been the same. Rawls had a great game, but that was against the Lions. I definitely see the Falcons pulling this one out. And Dan Quinn, their head coach, used to coach in Seattle, so maybe he has a couple tricks up his sleeve against Pete Carroll.
Nice. Yeah, that was my next thing, is go ahead and give me your pick. Give me your score, and if you've got any bold predictions from this game. Matt, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say Falcons 27-20. Bold prediction. I think Tevin Coleman has a couple of touchdowns in this one.
All right. Brandon?
I think it's kind of fun. I'm going the opposite. I think Seattle's playoff experience is going to be the difference. Plus, it always seems like whenever it comes down to these close plays, I always feel Seattle always gets the benefit of the doubt with refs. So I'm just going with Seattle 27, Atlanta 24. And my bold prediction is that Matt Ryan will have his first multi-interception game of the season this weekend.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on to what is probably the worst game of the weekend, at least on paper. We got the Texans going to the Patriots. Of course, the Texans were able to beat a shorthanded Raiders team without their quarterback. So they're going to go to the Patriots now. This is also a rematch of the regular season. They met in week 3. Of course, Tom Brady was still on a suspension in week 3. And the Patriots beat them with Jacoby Brissett 27-0. So on paper, this looks like a bad matchup. What does the Texans have to do to pull out a victory here, Matt?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not part of the Texans front office. I don't know where to start. I mean, they got absolutely demolished in week 3. Jacoby Brissett and that offense put up 27 on the best defense in the NFL, and they couldn't even get a single point on the Patriots defense, which isn't even that good. I don't know. I'm not even going to watch this game. I say the Texans will probably lose like 31-14, something like that.
You're jumping ahead with your predictions, but I think everyone knows what the picks are going to be on this game.
Yeah, no doubt. There's not much analysis to go around. I really don't think, Brock Osweiler they couldn't even score one field goal against the Patriots defense. And that was a prime time game. And this is a prime time game too. So, I really think, it's a bummer the Raiders aren't in this spot right now. It really is. I think Derek Carr and Amari Cooper could really have done some damage against the Patriots. But, of course, we have to see Brock Osweiler struggle on national television.
What about you, Brandon? You think there's any way the Texans can get this victory?
Realistically, no. I would say the only way they will win is if Brady got hurt on the first play of the game. But then, like you said, Jacoby Brissett, who was their third-string quarterback, beat them 27-0. So, I mean, but realistically, the way I can see the Texans winning this game, they'd have to have a combination of their best game of the season and the Patriots' worst game of the season. And everybody talks about playoff turnover margin in the playoffs. The Houston would need a turnover margin of at least +3 to have a shot in this game. But I don't see it happening. Even with Gronkowski out, the Patriots should walk through this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Most definitely.
I think, like you said, it would take the Patriots not only just worst game of the season, probably worst game of the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era, and then it would take the Texans' best game of the season, and even then it might be a 3-point game.
Definitely.
All right. So let's talk about the Patriots side of the ball. They made a little bit of a splash before the end of the season by signing Michael Floyd, former Cardinals wide receiver, got caught with the DUI. Cardinals cut him. Patriots, were the only team to put in waiver requests for him, so they added him. And the rumor is that he's going to have a big part of this offense. Do you think the Patriots can pull a rabbit out of the hat with Michael Floyd and turn him to something, or is this just a sort of a kick the tires kind of thing?
Well, I'm pretty salty about this signing in terms of. I'm not sure if you guys saw the video. I watched the DWI video that Michael Floyd had, and it was like like, what are you doing behind the wheel of a car? It was like, it was scary. Like, he could have killed somebody. He honestly could. And nobody put in a waiver claim for him besides the Patriots. Of course, always the good guy Patriots pulling a rabbit out of their hat. But, yeah, how does that work? Michael Floyd gets a DUI. He's clearly under the influence during it wasn't a bye week or anything. They had a game on Sunday. And then he gets to go from a non-playoff team to go play for the Patriots. Like, that, screw that. That's not even – I'm pretty salty about that. So and Michael Floyd really struggled this year. He really had a terrible year. And I think the he just didn't look good all year. And I think the old Father Time is catching up with him. And he did have a touchdown in week 17. But, you know, they have tons of other weapons. They got Malcolm Mitchell has had a great year. Julian Edelman has been fantastic. Amendola, Martellus Bennett. Like, they have so many other weapons. They don't need to feed Floyd the ball. I really don't see it happening, but maybe he sneaks in a quick slant touchdown, maybe like 8 or 9 yard strike. But I don't know what the Patriots end game was with signing him was. He's not that great of a player anymore, and he has off the field issues.
Brandon, what do you say?
I think Floyd's issue in Arizona. I'll start with on the field first. I think it was more of a disappointment just because I feel like he didn't fit in Arizona's scheme anymore. Because like they couldn't use him as a possession receiver because Larry Fitzgerald is still there. They can't use him as a downfield threat because they have John Brown, J.J. Nelson there. And I kind of feel like Arizona drafted him back in 2012 mainly because they probably thought like Fitzgerald may leave at some point a couple of years down the road. So I kind of feel like they got him as an insurance policy. But I still see Floyd as a talented receiver. Like, I was looking at his numbers earlier today, and this is the first year since his rookie season where he's been under 800 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a receiver on my team who his floor is 805 touchdowns, especially as a guy who's not your number one. And I feel like the main reason, even though it was his second DUI, I really feel like the only reason the Cardinals cut him is because he was coming up for free agency anyways. They weren't going to the playoffs. They knew they weren't going to re-sign him because of the young receivers they have on their roster now. So they just figured, why not just cut ties with him and just get it over with now for a guy who has off the field issues and not coming back to our team regardless. But I feel like it is kind of funny how you have a guy who makes these kind of mistakes and ends up on a team that could possibly make it to the Super Bowl. And I feel like the Patriots have had a gift fall in their lap because I feel like he'll be a much better fit for their offense than he would in Arizona. I'm just glad I didn't cut Michael Floyd from my dynasty league when he got cut by the Cardinals. So he'll come in handy for me next year if the Patriots keep him.
Nice. Yeah, I do think it's kind of crappy that, you know, here's this guy messing up off the field. He's got this very public DUI. I think he was literally falling asleep in his truck. And then he gets cut by the Cardinals, who aren't going to the playoffs, gets signed by a Super Bowl contending team, and is supposedly going to have a big role in that. So that is kind of weird. I think the NFL, I know they can't because the legal process still has to go through, but the NFL should step in and do something. I just don't think that's the way things should – just the optics of it just don't look good.
You know, it's a really – it's a big Cinderella story for Michael Floyd. I mean, any other job, you get a DUI, your career's down the toilet. You got a freaking bump in – he gets to play for the Patriots now. He got that was a great career move by Michael Floyd getting a DUI.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Normally when things like this happen, Goodell finds a way to exemplist people and make sure they don't play even if the legal proceeding hadn't gone through. So I was shocked that he's even playing this year at all since that happened, especially with the second offense, because Goodell's normally really hard on guys like that. But I guess since Floyd's not a top-tier player and he doesn't get a lot of publicity on the news, he didn't feel like he had to act too fast, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. All right, so let's go ahead and get your picks and your score and any bold prediction. Matt, we'll start with you.
Let's see. What was my prediction from earlier? Like 31-14. I'm going to stick to that. And bold prediction. I say Julian Edelman has 150 and 8 receptions.
All right, Brandon.
All right, my score prediction is pretty close. I said Patriots win 31-17 as my prediction. My bold prediction for the game. I feel like since the Patriots are coming off a bye, I feel like they're going to start off a little slow. My bold prediction is Texans will be leading 7-3 at the end of the first quarter, and then the Patriots turn it on after that.
They just kind of toy with them a little bit, give them a little bit of hope, and then just crush it after that.
Yep.
All right, let's look at the next game on the slate is the Steelers at the Chiefs. Brandon, since you know I know you're a big Chiefs fan, we'll start with you this time. This whole thing with Big Ben wearing a boot, you know, his injury on that last game. Are you buying all this? Is he really injured, or you think it's just sort of an overreaction for the media?
I don't think he's injured at all. I feel like Roethlisberger, he's played like 70% of his career injured. And I know a lot of times with these professional athletes, anytime they have any kind of foot injury or an ankle injury, they get put in boots all the time as precautionary procedures. And then the boot comes off and they're 100%. I know like for average guys like us, if we're in a boot, we're stuck in it for a few weeks. But these guys just wear it just because they're the top athletes and they just want to make sure everything is fine. But I feel like Roethlisberger, he'll play and he'll be just fine. I don't think it's going to affect him at all.
What do you think, Matt?
I completely agree. I think he's doing it sort of as a sort of publicity stunt to get his team riled up. Like the fact that he's still playing, sort of a feel good story sort of thing. That seems like a Mike Tomlin thing to do would be to have him like wear a boot all week. So. Yeah, I think he's fine, and he'll be Big Ben again. And luckily, an injury like that, if he actually has that injury, he plays quarterback, and he's not a mobile quarterback at all. So he'll just be back in the pocket like every other Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just what y'all said. I think it's just a precautionary thing. I think he made a big deal of it in the media just to kind of get it sort of talked about and keep the questions about everything else, you know, away from that, just all about the injury. So I think it's more of a publicity thing. I think he'll be fine for the game. All right, Brandon. So your Chiefs won their first playoff game last year in over two decades, and then they got defeated by the Patriots. What makes this year different than last year?
I feel like overall the Chiefs are a little more complete offensively. A lot of people forget last year that they lost Jamal Charles halfway through the year. Or closer halfway, like about 5 weeks in. This year, they pretty much went a full year without him. He tried to play, but then they just sat him. Spencer Ware did a good job filling in. He would have gone over 1,000 yards if he hadn't sat out the last game of the year. Tyreek Hill's been a great addition to the receiving core and the return game. It's helped out Jeremy Maclin a lot, and it's given Alex Smith another target to throw to. And Alex Smith, he actually threw for most passing yards in his career this year. He threw for about 3,500 yards, so it shows that he's been able to get the ball downfield a little bit more. And despite losing Derek Johnson to that Achilles injury, the defense has played well this year. Our backup pass rusher Dee Ford, he's emerged as a top guy. He was top 10 in the NFL in sacks for a good portion of the year while Justin Houston was out. So now Kansas City has three pass rushers with Ford, Houston, and Ali to get after Ben Roethlisberger. The only weakness I kind of worry about is outside of Marcus Peters, there's really nothing else at corner. So we'll have to see if Kansas City is able to keep it together against the Steelers. But other than that, I feel like they're in much better shape to make a run. Because even last year, they only lost to the Patriots by 7 points. And if it wasn't for a third down reception by Edelman that bounced off a Chiefs defender, the Patriots would have punted and the Chiefs would have had a chance to force it into overtime. So I feel like they're a lot closer than people give them credit for.
All right. What do you think, Matt? I know this question was more geared towards Brandon because he's a fan of the Chiefs, but what do you think the Chiefs have to do in this playoff game to sort of overcome their playoff woes history?
Well, you know, I think this is personally my favorite game on the slate. I love both the rosters of the Steelers and the Chiefs. I think there's a lot of exciting players in this game. And the defenses are also very solid. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup, I think, come Sunday. But I think the number one thing that they got to do is get Tyreek Hill involved. He has been just a beast this year. He has, and of course, Brandon and Jeff, you guys are fantasy players. He would have like two touches, and it could be rushing or receiving, and it'd be like a 70-yard play and a touchdown, just like off one play. He ran the fastest speed at the combine, which that was recorded in like the last 10 years, besides Chris Johnson. So Tyreek Hill is an absolute freak, and he is the X factor for this Chiefs team. He is unbelievably dynamic. They can use him in so many ways, and they need to get him involved early and just ride him out. I think he's going to be a very, very big part of the offense this weekend against a pretty terrible Steelers defense and secondary.
All right, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Tyreek Hill. I had this question for Brandon. You know, the Chiefs kind of have a history of having these sort of exciting, like game-breaking type players that can take a short 2-yard pass and go 80, 90 yards. I mean, they had the human joystick, Dante Hall. They had Priest Holmes, Jamaal Charles. Is Tyreek Hill sort of that next guy in line?
I think he could be there. I think it's still a little early to put him in there because it's just his rookie season. I got to see next year how it'll be once defenses adjust to him in terms of game planning, how special teams kick to him next year, especially on punts. He's been very dangerous on punts.
Teams are just going to kick it out of bounds.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're going to have to kick it through the end zone on kickoffs to keep him away from the ball. That's kind of funny about Tyreek Hill. I feel like they drafted him because the guy who was supposed to be in his position was DeAnthony Thomas out of Oregon, but he's been hurt and he hasn't been playing very well. So they drafted Tyreek Hill. It's actually been a blessing in disguise. The one thing I like about Tyreek Hill the most is that he seems like he's a little more confident on offense at receiver compared to how Dante Hall was. Dante Hall was more of just throw him a screen or throw him something or something over the top for a deep ball. But Tyreek Hill, you can run him, you can throw him over the middle, you can throw it deep. The only thing that worries me about Hill, the reason why I feel he hasn't been getting a lot of touches in the offense is because I've seen several of their games. He drops a lot of easy passes, so he's still not a complete threat on offense yet. But he's one of those dangerous switch it up type guys who you can get on the ball anywhere on the field. He can make a play, but he's not consistent enough to be a full time receiver just yet. And that's fine with me because he can be our big play slash return guy.
When you have a guy that fast, all you have to do is just teach him how to catch a football and just let him do the rest. Honestly, he is a absolute beast out there. He is just, nobody can touch him. And it brings me back to, I think, week 12 when they played the Broncos. He had a reception, rushing, and return touchdown all in one game. Hasn't been done since 1966. So he's a once-in-a-generation player. I think you guys really got to build around him, to be honest.
Yeah, Matt, I know you're a little bit younger than me and Brandon. I think you need to go YouTube Dante Hall. I don't know if you've ever seen him play before, but you'll see some pretty ridiculous plays that he did. What was it, early 90s, Brandon?
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s. So maybe like Matt did see him.
He really, like, between, like, 2002, 2004 was his peak.
Yeah, Matt, definitely you need to go YouTube Dante Hall if you've never heard of him because he's pretty ridiculous. He had some of the most crazy plays you'll ever see. All right,
let's on the Chiefs?
He was on the Chiefs, yep. Dante Hall. They called him the human joystick. Literally, there's two plays that stand out in my mind. There's one play where there was a screen, I think a wide receiver screen, where he literally jumped backwards as a defender dove in front of him and then took off the distance, just went straight to the distance. It was ridiculous. And then he had the one, I think it was a kickoff or a punt return, where he didn't even move but 3 yards, you know, forward and back, made six guys miss, and then took off and went the distance. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a punt return. The funny thing is both of those games were against Denver.
Yeah, that's true. It was both. Yeah, you're right. They're both against Denver. Those are the two plays that stand out to me. But he was just ridiculous. All right, we got a little bit off topic there. Let's get your picks, your score, and any bowl predictions. Matt, we'll start with you.
This one I think will be probably the closest game on the slate this weekend. I'm going to say Steelers 26, Chiefs 24. I think the best football player on the planet right now is Le'Veon Bell, and I think he goes for 3 TDs this weekend.
All right, Brandon, what's yours?
No surprises out of me. I have Kansas City winning a close game. I have it being 28-26. My bold prediction, I have Alex Smith. I think he'll throw for over 300 and at least 2 touchdowns. Cause I really feel the Steelers' defense is underrated. And I feel like Roethlisberger, even though he doesn't throw as well at home, on the road compared to at home, I feel like they'll make some plays. I think the score will be 26 because I think Kansas City will jump out early and hang on late. I feel Tomlin's going to go for 2 when he doesn't need to, and they're not going to get it. So that's why I came up with a weird score, like 28-26.
For sure.
So your bold prediction is that Tomlin goes for 2 at some point during the game.
Yeah, and my bold prediction was Alex Smith throws for over 300. And 2 touchdowns.
All right.
On Sunday.
Good deal, good deal. I'll be watching that one closely because I want to see. I actually want to see the Steelers lose this game. I don't want your Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, but I do want the Steelers to lose. All right, now the next game, which is sort of the game of the week, at least from a rating standpoint, I think, is you got the Packers at the Cowboys with their history. As a Packers, my wife's a Packers fan, huge Packers fan. I think the representative of the NFC is coming from this game. What are y'all impressions of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, Matt?
These guys, it's unbelievable what they've done this year. It's going to go down in history as one of the smartest GM decisions of our generation, to be honest. I mean, you got Ezekiel Elliott with the 4th overall pick, then you find a gem like Dak Prescott in the 4th round. It's been a really weird year for the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously the most, the most followed franchise among NFL fans. And, the most impressive thing to me about these guys is these guys are 20-year-old kids with all the media attention, everything involved. And they're now the cornerstone pieces of America's team. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid 21, 22 years old. And they've handled it with unbelievable poise, and they've just won football games. And that's extremely impressive to me. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come in the NFC. And I think the Tony Romo injury in the preseason was about the biggest blessing the Cowboys could have had this season.
Brandon?
Yeah, I feel like them being able to get Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott set them up for years to come. It was basically kind of how they were at the beginning, like back in the 90s, when they were able to get Aikman, Smith, and Irvin together. And except this time they didn't have to get a ton of draft picks like they've gotten the Herschel Walker deal. They were able to do it straight up. And I mean, with Romo, it's like Matt said, it's a blessing in disguise for Dallas because like Romo's, he's been good. Like his stats have been good, but if you really look at it, what has he really done for Dallas over the past decade? I mean, he's gotten them one playoff win. Like Dak Prescott has a chance to tie Romo's playoff career wins in his first game as a rookie. So I feel like Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott have a Cowboys set up where they can be a force for years to come. And it's tough for me to say that because I'm not the biggest Cowboys fan. So, but it's good that they have themselves set up for at least for the next 7 or 8 years if everything works out.
Yeah, it's funny because Matt said it could go down as one of the smartest GM moves this year, and I think it was almost an accident. Because they didn't really want Dak Prescott to start the game or start the season as a starter. They tried everything they could to get somebody else from the free agents, and they just kept missing out. I think they tried to get Nick Foles, who ended up signing with Kansas City. They tried getting a bunch of other guys from the free agent market and just couldn't do it. And they finally said, you know what? We have nobody else to start. We'll put Dak Prescott in there. And now it looks like they're geniuses for doing it. Is there anything that Prescott could do or not do in this game that could get him pulled and put in Tony Romo, you think, Matt?
Well, first, I think maybe that was an interesting GM tactic the Cowboys did, that they were like showing no faith in their rookie QB to motivate him to have an incredible season, so they would shut up. But I think Prescott's just got to trust his offensive line and honestly just feed Zeke, man. I mean, the dude is a beast, and behind that offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott, in my opinion, honestly, I think he was the MVP of the NFL. But I love the narrative of non-quarterbacks winning MVP, so I am a little biased towards him. But they should have won 14 games this year with a rookie QB and a rookie running back. He did so much, and obviously the offensive line in Dallas is incredible, but he took so much pressure off Dak this year, and I think they're just going to feed him again against Green Bay. But, you know, Green Bay's defense against the run is really good, so it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think Dak's going to be forced to throw a lot, and I think they're going to get down early, honestly, and Dak's just got to keep calm, and he's got his home fans rooting for him, so he's just got to manage the game and not throw any picks.
What do you think, Brandon? Any chance that Romo gets in this game for any reason?
I think outside of injury, he's not going to get in, to be honest with you. Because like Prescott's your future quarterback. Even if Prescott has a bad game, I don't see them putting Romo in, because that would just from a PR standpoint, I just feel like it would start like a huge fire that wouldn't get put out. Even if Romo left, people would still be complaining, well, maybe we should have kept Romo because Prescott isn't ready. I feel like Prescott, despite the fact that he's a rookie, he's gotten you this far. He's gotten you the 13 wins. He's gotten you the number one overall seed in the NFC. Like, you have to ride him out and see where it takes you. I mean, the way I see it, Romo's had his chance, and he's the way I feel, his days in Dallas are done. It's time for Prescott to show what he's made of.
I think Romo's time in the NFL is virtually done. I think he's 36, 37 years old. I mean, what's the point in – I guess the only team that I could really see signing Romo next year would be the Denver Broncos, just because they have nothing and they really want to make the playoffs with their defense that they have. But another weird narrative was what was up with Jerry Jones saying, like, I really want to see Romo in the playoffs, like, even when Dak was doing amazing. Like, why did he – what was his angle saying that? I think he's trying to get in Dak's head and trying to motivate him to have an excellent ball game, honestly.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, he puts his foot in his mouth a lot of times, too, Jerry Jones does.
I think it's on purpose, honestly. He can't be that stupid. I mean, why did he have to, like, bring Romo back? Like, oh, I'd really love to see Romo win a playoff game for us. Like, what? Come on, man. 14-2, basically, with two rookies at running back and quarterback. I mean, and another thing about the Cowboys is that they play in probably the toughest division other than, I guess, the AFC West with the Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos. But, I mean, the NFC East is incredibly. I've got the Giants, the Redskins almost snuck in, and the Eagles are always they're always around, like, 8-8. So they were the champs of the best division in football. So I think you just got to ride them out. I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing saying those Romo comments. I think it's just a motivator for Dak.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because like Romo's playoff success hasn't been there. Their one playoff win they did have, you could say the referees handed them that game against Detroit a couple of years back. So like, there's no reason to feel that Romo is a better option for you right now at quarterback.
Absolutely not. No, he's outdated. Dak can use his legs and arm. It's I don't think Romo ever sees time in this game, unless of course injury.
All right, let's flip it over to the other side and talk about the Packers a little bit. We kind of mentioned the MVP voting already, that you all think that Matt Ryan has that MVP vote. But if, let's say, Aaron Rodgers continues playing the way that he's playing, is there anybody in the NFC that can beat them? Matt?
Anybody in the NFC? I think Seattle could probably give them a run for their money. Green Bay's defense was pretty atrocious this year. They've picked it up the last couple weeks. They've got some guys back, but I think the NFC Championship game is probably going to come down to Green Bay versus Atlanta. I think would be my pick, and I think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl, to be honest.
Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like Green Bay is the team to beat right now in the NFC. I agree with Matt. I feel like Green Bay is going to move on from this game, but it's going to be tough because if they do play Seattle next week, because I feel like Seattle is going to beat Atlanta. If they do play Seattle, they're going to have to go to Seattle to win that game. So that's going to be a really tough game for the Packers to overcome. But I think Green Bay right now is the team to beat.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I agree. I think Rodgers is just playing out of his mind right now. I think if he plays that way, I think there's no one that can stop him, really. I mean, he's just unbelievable. I mean, the Giants played great defense for most of that game, and then all of a sudden he just started hitting his passes. That Hail Mary, I know it was a Hail Mary, but to throw that ball as high as he did and for it to drop just a few feet, you know, before going out of bounds, that's just ridiculous. I don't even know if he was trying to do it or not, but I mean, that's the third Hail Mary he's thrown and completed in huge games, you know, in just the last 2 years. It's just ridiculous how good he's playing right now.
He's Superman out there. He really is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up with some picks from this game. I think you both picked the Packers, but give me a score, and if you got any bold predictions, Matt, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go Packers 24, Cowboys 17. I'd say bold predictions. I think Dak throws two interceptions and Zeke fumbles at least once in this game.
All right, Brandon.
I think it's going to be more of a shootout. I feel Green Bay is going to win 35-31. My bold prediction is the Packers defense holds Zeke under 100 yards rushing. So I think it's a pride thing with Green Bay's defense because Elliott almost went for 160 against them the last time. So they're gonna force Dak to beat them this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I think that's their key to their victory. I think they need to get out early and sort of take that run game out of the game, you know, a little bit where they have to throw a little bit more. And I think it's going to come down to that Packers defense stopping the Cowboys on a last drive where they have to rely on Dak Prescott to pick up first down to move the ball into field goal range, and I don't think he can do it. I think they'll come down a little short, and I think the Packers move on.
I truly just can't see a scenario, really, where the Cowboys win this game. I think I'm playing it over in my head of what the most likely scenario is going to happen and a bunch of different factors going in, and I just can't see Dallas winning this game. They're too young. They just, I don't know. I think the pressure is going to get to them. And it is at Dallas too. So, Tim Strobel is going to be at that game as well. So he'll be cheering for the green and yellow.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. A friend of the podcast, been on a couple times. He's a big Packers fan, actually lives, I think, just outside of Dallas. So yeah, I think he'll be at that game. So that'll be kind of cool. I have to have him come on. Win or lose, and just tell me what the experience is like being a Packers fan in Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, I think he's in a little over his head. I think I heard on the last podcast he said he's going to bring his Green Bay Rodgers jersey. Yeah. I'd probably just show up in like neutral colors, honestly. I wouldn't want to mess with any of those Cowboys fans.
Agreed. Well, while I got you both on the podcast, let me go get your pick for Super Bowl. What do you think the two teams are going to be, and who do you think wins it all?
Falcons, Patriots win 28-14.
I think it's going to end up being Patriots, Packers, and I feel the Patriots will win 30-27.
All right, I'm going with Packers and Patriots, and I'm taking the Packers to win. I think the Patriots defense just won't be able to contain Rodgers. I think it'll be a Packers victory, but that's just me hoping because, like I said, I'm married to a Packers fan. So You know, happy wife is a happy life.
You better hope the Packers win. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, guys, I appreciate you both coming on the podcast tonight. I definitely want to get y'all back on, especially if the Chiefs advance. Brandon, I want to have you back on. We'll talk some more Chiefs football. Matt, you're always welcome to come on. Eventually, we'll get into some fantasy football or some fantasy basketball podcasts as well, some DFS. And I know both of you are big DFS players, so I'll get y'all on and give me some DFS advice, because that's, you know, what we're kind of built on and going for two. But with the playoffs going on right now, I want to get some NFL stuff going on first.
You'll have to get us back on for NBA trade deadline podcast here pretty soon.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys. I want to thank both of y'all, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Take care, Jeff.
All right, thanks for having us on, Jeff, and take it easy.